Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 44 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken.
I'm Steve.
And we're going to cover this week's nerd news, beginning with some talk around the upcoming subscription streaming services. We've got a new Star Wars trailer, as well as the new Mandalorian trailer that have released. We'll give our thoughts on that. There's also a lot of talk around SpaceX, Starlink, all of that needs to be discussed. We've got a major government contract, one out by Microsoft over Amazon Web Services. And then a big leap in quantum computing took place this week. And then the longest flight that's ever happened from the Air Force spy plane has landed. So a lot to get through. Let's get going, nerds.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
Welcome back, nerds, to episode 44. Well, first, Steve, you did have a new movie this weekend that you were able to get to.
Yeah, I posted it a little late on YouTube. I had a kind of busy weekend. My first daughter turned 5, so lots of kids in a bouncy house, brand new bouncy house place, and sure as shit, we had one kid throw up all over the brand new carpet. It was an awesome time.
Oh, yeah.
Great time. So I went and saw The Current War, which is all about the race for the race to power the country with electricity. And I'll leave the YouTube review for everybody. I won't give my thoughts here, but definitely check out the review if you're kind of on the fence to go see it. I had some thoughts about it, that's for sure.
All right. So yeah, and you can check that out. Just look for the Nerd Cantina on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and you'll get all those reviews as they come out. And we've got this week is let's quickly talk about some of these subscription services. So we're less than right now 2 weeks away from Disney Plus launching. We know Apple TV's shortly to follow. You know, there's some articles, an article that we'll have on the nerdcantina.com/show44, which was from USA Today, that just talks about, you know, combating this subscription fatigue, as every week we're talking about a new service that's looking for the new $5.99, $4.99, $13.99, whatever it happens to be, and which ones are most beneficial, which ones are getting you. And then we also got some news on some freebies too. So
my curiosity is USA Today owned by the same company that owns USA, the TV network?
No. Oh, maybe. I don't know. There's like three companies in all of entertainment, so it's possible, but I don't think so.
Because I really think this is like cable writing these articles, you know, like, oh, the streaming service fatigue. Who wants to pay all these monthly fees when you could just give Comcast $200 a month?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I mean, even we see, you know, Comcast is got their own streaming service coming out with NBC Universal streaming service, the Peacock, right? The Peacock, yeah. Cock is on its way out. And so even the traditional cable companies are getting in on the game.
Yeah, I'm wondering when they're going to throw in the towel on like actual network cable, or at least pull back on it. You know, you got 900 channels when you include like the music section, like every 100 has something. You know, we have 70 sports channels through 401 through 472. You know, we have, you know, all the 900s are just random music channels that nobody listens to. I mean, like, yeah. Who's listening to the light jazz station on the fucking on the Comcast on demand? You know, I'm just wondering when, like, how this is all going to play out and balance out, because there's going to be pushback. Cable's going to fight it. You know, these streaming services are putting out, you know, you get a free month, you get a free year with Verizon for Disney Plus. Apple TV's free to
so
Apple
I don't
users.
Think it's a free year. It's advertising. It's just free. It's a part of your monthly plan. Now, if you have any Verizon Unlimited plan, you get Disney Plus. Same as, so I'm a Sprint customer. On a Sprint Unlimited plan, I get the Hulu that comes with ads free. And that's how I've had Hulu for years without ever actually subscribing to Hulu itself. So now Disney Plus has packaged itself within Verizon's Unlimited plans that it's just a part of your subscription.
Yeah, and Amazon Video comes with Amazon Prime.
And then Apple TV is, you know, the vast majority of the people who are going to use Apple TV, they have an Apple device that everybody who has Apple devices buys a new Apple device every 12 months, and you get 12 months free with any Apple device purchased.
Yeah, I'm still rocking an iPhone 8.
Yeah, but you've bought something. You've bought something from Apple.
No, that's the only Apple product I own, man. That's the only Apple product I own. I bought the first smartphone when it came out. And
well, then you're asked out when it comes to Apple TV. You're not getting it without paying your $4.99.
It's kind of bullshit. I got an iPhone. What the fuck? Tim Cook, you bitch.
And he's telling you, you cheap bitch, go buy a new product every 12 months and you're going to get it.
I can't. Disney, Hulu, and Netflix got all my monies.
But that was the point of the whole article, is that, you know, the streaming services began as this like empowering thing to let people cut the cord and become cord cutters. And then now all the cord cutters are looking at it and thinking, well, shit, my total monthly bill is now starting to add back up to what cable once was.
Well, and even when I cut the cord, my big problem was that with my cable, I still had to have Comcast for my broadband internet. I was not giving up my bomb-ass internet with having to record this show, you know, across the country between me and you, the amount of online gaming I do, the amount of things on my Wi-Fi network and stuff like that. I just wanted bomb-ass internet still. The thing I ran into, though, was when I first started using Hulu for my live TV, was that they only give you a terabyte of info a month. And I was going over, like, how you go over your data plan on your phone. I was going over my data plan in my house. And that got a little pricey. But now, just recently, they've been offering relatively affordable unlimited plans. So the base package for, like, Comcast is, like, 75 megabytes a second for, like, $40 a month. I think I pay $100 a month for unlimited and 450 megabytes per second. So I got like quadruple the internet speed and unlimited for almost triple the price of the basic plan. But when you add in the fees I was going over, like it, I had to do it. Like I was tired of checking my megabytes every goddamn week at the end of the, every day at the end of the month.
Yeah, I don't deal with any of those problems. I just have whatever the cheapest broadband level internet is, and that suffices for me, but
I'm trying to stream in 4K, dude.
Not I.
Well, we're going to put that test to the limit when we get our Stadias, motherfucker. We're going to see what your internet be about.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see if the budget internet holds up. But, I mean, in the end, the subscription servers are going. And the question is, does all of these freebies, right, these entry-level packages for Disney Plus that are being offered by Verizon, Hulu still is free, Apple TV is largely free, does Netflix win because of all this? Like, Netflix gets cheaper the more people get freebies from elsewhere, that now they don't have to make a hard decision on whether to cut their Netflix in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily make them cheaper, but it does not press the issue of which one gets the guillotine. To me, I don't see this lasting very long. Depends on the cost of the content. Netflix pays a shit ton of money to create content. So as these streaming services try to compete more with original content, they're not going to be able to give this shit away for free very long, unless Verizon's paying out the ass. Then Verizon's got more money than I thought they had. To me, it's like, yeah, we'll do this until it's not profitable anymore. Because, like I told you earlier, every good crack dealer gives the first rock out for free. And now once you've watched the first season of Mandalorian, and they pull that Verizon deal out from under you, you're going to give that fucking $5 up real fast. I promise you that.
And I don't know, Verizon's going to continue this because it's not about Verizon's money, because all they're going to do is just increase everybody's plan by $5 a month. And people aren't going to realize it. They're going to still advertise it as a benefit that you're getting Disney Plus, but all the while they're the most expensive cell phone plan.
Yeah, that's why, like, it's all smoke and mirrors, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's look over this way while we tack you with a some kind of fee in the monthly, like, little lettering that you get. Like, oh, yeah, your phone bill's only $49.99 a month.
Well, I'm just hoping now that...
Well, then why am I paying $110 every month? Yeah. Oh, because you have the airway restocking fee.
I'm just hoping that I don't lose my Hulu being a Sprint customer now that Disney owns Hulu. They're going to steal my Hulu away from Sprint and roll that over to Verizon 2 or something.
Man. See, I'm wondering what the association Disney has with Verizon. Because you know they don't do this. Well, I mean, most of the time it's stock. It's not money. It's basically money, but it's a little more than that. It's stock.
Yeah, we'll see. All this stuff is really interesting. You get, I think it was, it was a major financial magazine or whatever else. Maybe it was Forbes, but somebody came out this week and valued like Apple TV, that Apple TV in the next 5 years is going to bring in like $9 billion a year to Apple. And I'm just thinking, where?
What, with shows with blind people? From shows with blind people?
And that's what I'm just like, where? Where is this coming from? But it all comes down to like where, how do they monetize it? How do they tell their shareholders they're making money? If billions of people are getting it free because they're selling billions of Apple devices, are they writing that off as still paid subscriptions that they're now just calling like, hey, they're promotional discounts, and they're somehow convincing people that they're actually bringing in money for this? I don't understand.
But if you notice who's making the best content, it's all the people that make you pay. So Netflix is winning the most awards. HBO is winning the most awards. Amazon Prime just dumped $1 billion into Lord of the Rings. Like these motherfuckers, you know, and just because you get Amazon Video free with Prime doesn't mean it's cheap. Amazon Prime is $100 a year. So it's not like, you know, you can say you're getting it for free, but like, no, you're paying $100 a year for that shit. So I don't know how viable that model is going to be. I really honestly think it's just because they're fresh to the game and they want to get people hooked on some of these shows. And then the minute they start bidding, you know, because people are going to have these shows, they're going to show pilots to all the streaming services. They're going to create a bidding war and the highest bidder wins. And
Apple TV is the interesting one that they've announced that they're not licensing anybody else's stuff. So Apple TV is going to be propped up purely on original content. And right now they've got nothing, right? They've got a couple shows that are launching with it.
They got that morning show with Jennifer Aniston.
Which looks interesting. I like that. That one looks good. They've got some other ones, right? They're rolling out shows, but I'm saying they've got no back catalog. So you could binge your way through all of their original content pretty quickly on their launch. So that it's going to take them a couple of years before they have enough original content to truly stand on its own. Whereas everybody else is relying on licensing deals. They're relying on people binging, you know, The Office.
I think they're the new content is going to be hit or miss. I mean, with Apple, they, you know, them signing Jennifer Aniston is kind of huge. She's like the,
she's like the basic bitch over 50 Beyonce.
Yeah. If you're over 50 and you're drinking pumpkin spice lattes, Jennifer Aniston's your fucking Beyonce, like by far. So they're gonna get that audience, you know. They can't really go wrong with that. But after that, you know, that it's only gonna hold so long. You put out these seasons with 8 to 10 episodes. It's 10 weeks out of the year. So you know, someone will cancel for 42 other weeks and just resub.
Yeah, I'm really curious on Apple TV is the one that is most intriguing to me. I'm not going to get it at all, but I find their whole model and what they're doing it's definitely unique compared to everybody else. No, so we'll see how that goes.
We should start a Nerd Cantina pool on the first one that dies.
None of them.
Oh, someone's going to die. Someone's going to throw it in.
I mean, if DC Universe is still kicking,
well, I mean, yeah, I know who's got best odds,
DC Universe is still kicking around because once the infrastructure is set up, why not just keep it running? What's it cost you?
It costs the cost of shows and actors and production and you know.
Yeah, but that's if they're continuing to make new stuff. I don't know. To me, I don't see these things folding up or going away, maybe getting bought, but not going away. But let's move into
let's move into our next entertainment section, because we got a lot of tech and science this week. We're usually entertainment heavy, just because that's how the world works. But this week we're really tech and science heavy. So I want to get through this entertainment shit.
So Star Wars final trailer.
I mean, I guess everybody got hit in the feels because 3PO, you know, I'm taking one last look at my friends.
Before he goes red eye evil, like he did.
Fucking robot, man. Like, I'm not going to cry over a robot. You know, but it just, I already bought my
ticket.
I think it was that
going. And seeing the piece, the trailer, you know, with Leia's
voice
hugging. Well, and she's doing the hugging Rey. You know, they've got the CGI'd, or actually it's not CGI'd. It's, it was deleted scenes from the previous movie where she's hugging Rey that they've laced into this movie.
Yeah.
So that's also in the trailer.
Well, like we said, with Episode 9 trailer being released, the Mandalorian trailer being released, I'm already going to watch them. I don't need your trailer.
So that's where I'm at. I did watch the trailers. Actually, I didn't see the Mandalorian trailer. And I don't really care to. I'm going to watch that on the day it comes out in Disney Plus. The Star Wars trailer, I watched it, but I also don't care. Does it look like a good trailer? Yeah, it does.
Sure.
I didn't go watch the million YouTube recaps of it and eking out all the Easter eggs and talking over it. Because I don't care. I'm going to see the movie. I don't care.
I don't know who these people are that want to frame by frame dissect a trailer so that they can ruin the fucking movie they're so excited about. What is wrong with you, man? I'm excited for the long runtime, though. Which gives me hope that they're really going to try to wrap this with a bow.
What I'm really finding interesting is that, you know, the articles and that the headlines that were coming out was, you know, Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, extremely long runtime, whatever else. And I finally clicked one of the articles and looked at it. It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a long runtime.
It's half an hour longer than a standard.
It's not touch. I was thinking it was going to be Endgame level, right? I was thinking it was going to be 3 hour, 5 minutes, 3 hour. Like, it was going to hit that 3 hour mark.
Endgame was 3 hours and it wrapped up 10 years of Marvel movies. This is 30 years in the making. If it was 3 hours, I wouldn't gonna be mad at it. Just give me some good shit, though.
I was actually kind of disappointed that it was only 2.5 hours, because in my opinion, you're leaving 20 solid minutes on the table that you could still go out and get, and people can obviously have a tolerance for. And games demonstrated that these big movies, they'll get asses in the seats.
Hey, who knows, though? It could be an hour and a half of intergalactic trade negotiations. For all we fucking know.
It very well might be. But, I mean, in the end, I think the Star Wars movie, I'm excited to see it. I just want to see where it goes and it wraps up.
45 minutes of it's got to be walking around with a pooper scooper and picking up Rian Johnson's bullshit. I mean, you can't have an episode 9 without at least addressing the fucking giant turd in the room when you fucking walk in there.
Yeah, I'm curious about what they're going to do with that. I don't think they're going to actually address it all. I think they're just going to somewhere
mind wipe you.
They're just going to somewhere you've watched before. Making an abrupt right turn on the plot, and we're just going to go from there. But I don't foresee them going. You know, they're not retconning any of it. They're just going.
A big sweat dream. It was just all a Po sweat dream. That fucking movie.
Well, we've had it on the Nerd Cantina Facebook group, but that rant by Freddie Prinze Jr. And if anybody hasn't seen Star Wars rant by Freddie Prinze Jr., it's been now placed over like animation. It is great. It is a spectacular Star Wars rant. And if you haven't seen it and you're a huge Star Wars fan and you're an adult, you're probably not going to like it, because he reminds you all that this is a child's level story, child's level storytelling, child's movie, and you guys need to get over yourselves.
Yeah, well, you're also Freddie Prinze Jr. am I really to be offended?
I respect him significantly more after seeing that rant. And I don't know what
the bar was not set high for Freddie Prinze Jr.
No, I mean, just finding out he was alive was a surprise to me, and so that was nice. But yeah, it was a great rant. It's just everybody goes and takes a look at it.
I'm not going to take a bunch of ridicule from a man that starred in the Scooby-Doo movie.
I don't know why that's a negative. That was quality cinema. It definitely was worth watching. So it's Halloween time. You can't shit on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, well, it was the farmer from down the street in a mask.
So let's
Let's go to some space and some tech. Right. I'm liking this.
So the first story that came out was that Elon Musk and Starlink is trying to do an extra 30,000 satellites. So initially when they announced the plan for Starlink and they got it approved by the FCC, it was for a 12,000 low orbit satellite coverage. And then they just got approved for another 30,000 satellites, low orbiting satellites, which would bring Starlink as their total goal of 42,000 satellites.
This motherfucker's trying to control the weather or some shit, I'm telling you.
And
I'm telling you, like I don't know what he's doing up there, but you don't need 42,000 of anything.
No, and one of the things that to me is fascinating about this is how inadequately we are prepared to govern the domain of space.
Oh, for right? sure.
Like,
oh, for sure.
We've got just a U.S. mega billionaire who all he's doing is requesting to the United States FCC to just launch 42,000 satellites. And because the U.S. really doesn't give a fuck about anything, and we're not going to care where, who's doing what, we just say, yep, you're cleared. Go for it. And the rest of the world is probably just like, this motherfucker, like, if every country had their own Elon Musk wanting to launch 42,000 satellites and nobody kind of talks internationally and says, hey, we got to figure out this low orbit situation here. And we got to actually identify who we want participating in that space, how we're going to deconflict all these services.
Who the fuck's directing traffic up there?
And
I don't know how many airplanes are in the air at once. I'm roughly assuming it's around the same kind of number. And It is a like highly stressful job to navigate so that none of these fuckers fly into each other. Like it is
They're all managed out of AI. They're all self-controlling. So and they all have their own anti-collision services or anti-collision software and stuff built into them. So they're not human manned at all. And one of the concerns is
and Tesla cars have hit a few things along the way too. So
I mean, so 3 out of the 60 that they've launched already are already not working. So it's got a 5% fail rate if you just go off of the first launch alone. To get to 42,000, imagine how many launches that's going to take. Now Starship, so the current Falcon Heavies that launch that they did a couple months ago was able to do 60. Starship is going to do upwards of 400, a little more than 400 per launch. But still, we're talking years down the road, a ton of launches in order to get to that 42,000 number, if they ever get there, right? They don't need to get to that number to be functioning. It just shows that, hey, Elon has got plans and he's keeping the doors wide open to just blanket the entire Earth with his satellite system. And one of the challenges internationally that, like, what happens when these things die, right? Nothing operates indefinitely out in space. These things fail. Like those 3 that failed, what is the plan for them? Just launch 3 more to replace it.
So my first thought was how long until some batshit crazy Russian egghead makes a homemade rocket to take one of these things out? If you got 42,000 of them up there, the odds of you being able to hit one just drastically increased. You know, like you know it's going to be some Russian, some crazy fucking bored Russian dude who's just got a crazy engineering degree that he can't do nothing with in that fucking country. So he's just in his backyard tinkering away with fucking homemade rockets and figures out a trajectory to, I'm gonna shoot this motherfucker down. It's gonna be on YouTube, like
maybe. But what happens when that happens, when that goes on and there's no and the space debris fills up? I mean, you've got all these dead decommissioned satellites that are floating around and nobody recovers them. Like, I think France is the only country right now that actually regulates any satellites launched by French companies out of France. They have to have a recovery plan that nothing can be left out in space for greater than 25 years. Even if it's operating, they've got to recover everything within 25 years and replace it. Again, U.S., we don't give a shit. 42,000 of them, who cares? Launch them, and farewell.
They just know when they shoot up a French satellite that eventually it's going to retreat back home. Boom, fucking French people, yeah, fuck you.
Got you, French. All right.
No, like, it's got it. Like, so I've seen like GIFs of like what all the space trash around the Earth looks like, and it looks like shit. You know, like wow, there's that much shit in outer space, and we are just dumping tons of more shit in outer space. Like,
now, 42,000 sounds like a big number, but it's, I mean, it, you know, when we talk about
the circumference of the Earth.
And it's really nothing. And, you know, people talk about it, whether it's going to interfere with like astronomy and stuff like that, because it's low orbit, it's going to be reflecting. And Elon's already planned. He's already actually got ways that the surfaces are not going to be reflecting at night. They're going to be kind of protecting the night sky. So all those celebrity deathmatch,
Elon Musk versus Neil deGrasse Tyson, duking it out over the starry nights.
No, in the end, they've got the same objective. So I don't think they're duking out at all. They're having a good old time as they're both trying to still get to the moon and get to Mars and get to wherever else, which takes us to some of the next topics, right? Well, actually, still on the Starlink thing, just another interesting part of Starlink is that Elon sent out a tweet then this week, just tweeting I'm tweeting this from Starlink internet. And then his next tweet was, wow, that worked. He turned on. So again, there's 60 satellites out in Starlink now. Those 60 satellites are already functioning and creating internet. And in 2020, they're talking about rolling out that service to the United States, I think the southern half of the United States specifically is what's going to get the best coverage. But we're already going to start to see this as maybe a viable internet source for places like the rural parts of the country. It's not something that you could just like use. It's not like you could just turn on Wi-Fi and see Starlink on your Wi-Fi services.
I was just going to say that. Everyone's going to have to shut off their automatically join network thing on their phone, because everywhere you walk, it's just going to be like, do you want to join Starlink network? Like, no, motherfucker, no.
No, so it requires a transceiver down here on the ground that's going to receive and then broadcast that signal locally. So you have to have some antenna on your house if you're going to have Starlink internet to the house, or some towers that are going to have to receive it and then broadcast it in a usable form here.
Bundle that shit in with my solar panel roof tiles and give me a bundle.
Which they just announced their next gen of solar panels this week as well. So they've got a more viable, which is now the next solar panels are supposedly the cost of a replacement roof. Now it's now at the point of it's costing the same. If you replace your roof, you might as well do a solar, because they've now made their solar panels to the point that they're as cheap to replace.
Yeah, I want to say in the article I read that the average like shingle is like $8 per foot. And they started out at like 20, and they're starting to near that $8 per square foot mark.
Yeah, this next gen that they announced this week was the closest they've gotten. So yeah, it's not, that's an interesting thing as well. But so Starlink internet, maybe we got some of it here in the U.S. Next year. I think they're launching another 60 satellites here in the next couple months, and then we know that they're going to be doing what we talked about with Starship testing. They're going to continue with their fall test this year. They're going to start launch test next year. And then Starship, the ultimate goal is that thing is launching payloads in the very near future. Very near future could be 2022. SpaceX is not just trying to get Starship up in space. They're trying to get Starship on the moon by 2022. And what they've identified is that the plan for Starship is going to be for specifically the moon, and we assume the same thing's going to be for Mars. Is they're going to get Starship launched to the moon, and it stays on the moon. The first couple Starships are going to go just purely carrying cargo, landing on the moon and then remaining on the moon, almost setting up like a base station of equipment, of resources and things that then in 2024, 2 years later, SpaceX's plan is to start having the first human starships landing on the moon.
Yeah. So I'm just going to give a big fuck you to that first mission, because the billionaire people that are on that spaceship that will take that first voyage are probably some of the biggest causes of human plight on the fucking planet. And if it never comes back from that fucking Swiss cheese rock, I won't be mad.
No, I think maybe that's the third flight. I think that's the third flight. 2022 is, you know, the cargo. 2024, that's going to be the scientists. That's going to be the scientists and engineers coming to take all of the raw materials that were on those 2022 to 2024 flights, however many they do in that two-year span. That's going to be the engineers. That's going to be the scientists that are going to be building the structures of all the equipment that the raw material
brought. At some point, you're going to have a spaceship full of like Saudi princes,
yeah,
fucking Russian oligarchs.
Again, that's after they've built. That's after they've built the spa. That's after they've built all of the other things. Like that's not that first landing of humans.
I must use steam room on moon.
Yeah. So that's a different landing. But they did on the International Space Station grow lettuce, I think, this week. They're looking to harvest lettuce for the first time on the International Space Station. So we're cracking that nut, too. We're going to be growing plants there.
Hey, upgrade that shit to kale and you'll get a bunch, of those vegan scientists out there. Oh, Jesus.
I mean, really, that takes us through a lot of our SpaceX talk, and I still find this stuff fascinating. I'm hoping they hit these target dates. It'd be awesome to see in 5 years that we actually have a scientific base station on the surface of the moon.
Well, it just amazes me how much Elon is trying to do. Like, he has so much ambition. It's not even funny. We're going to take a small break to promote some of our podcasting friends. We've been doing a lot of promotion sharing. We're part of a nice little podcasting community, and we're all trying to promote each other's show. So as soon as we get back from a few of our friends' promos, we're going to go over another collaboration between Elon and another powerhouse and continue this space talk. So we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Liz.
Hey, this is Heather.
And we are Nerdy Bitches Podcast,
a show where two geeky ladies podcast their way through pop culture.
From movies and TV to our regular book club and everything in between, we bring you our favorite fandoms with a feminine eye.
We are talking Star Wars, Star Trek, DC, Marvel, comic books, and anime.
And don't forget sci-fi, fantasy, action movies, video games, D&D, board games, and so much more.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you find awesome podcasts.
You can also find us hanging out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and at nerdybitches.com.
See you soon.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan J.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast. Every week, the ODPH is talking sports, movies, TV, comics, and more. It's always a parlay of topics on each episode. You can find the ODPH on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you find great podcasts, such as the one you're listening to right now. Don't forget to check out OchoDuroParlayHour.com, where you can find the links to all of the ODPH social media accounts, links to the bands whose music you hear each week on the show, hashtag 607 podcast info, and Parlay Points, our companion blog section of the show. Thanks for listening to the ODPH. Now get back to your regularly scheduled podcasts.
Welcome back. Moving into the collaboration of two tech giants, we've got Microsoft's Bill Gates has invested $1 billion into Elon's OpenAI, which another arm of, you talk about Elon being super ambitious, whatever else. Well, it's just another thing that Elon kind of honchos, which is this OpenAI company that's been around since 2015 with the goal of coming up with actual real artificial general intelligence. And we've got Microsoft teaming up with that in the sense of monetarily investing, hoping that Elon can crack that there and get some AGI.
how do you think you give someone $1 billion? Like, I don't even think one of those big lotto checks is enough of a spectacle to actually give someone $1 billion. It should be like a big ceremony almost. you're giving someone $1 billion. You could end homelessness and hunger in all kinds of countries with that check. And you're like, nope, I need smarter robots. how do you hand that cash over? Like, well, I mean, hope to God it's not just a wire transfer, some just egghead hitting enter.
Well, Bill and Melinda Gates still in their personal holdings is still worth over $105 billion.
That's ridiculous.
So this is, if they did this out of their personal bank accounts, it would be less than 1% of their net worth.
I had that same conversation when it was regards to charity. So I think it was like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan donated like $7 million to open a few hospitals in North Carolina. And everyone was like, oh my God, it's so great. Michael Jordan's so giving. He's so giving. And it's like, really though? Like, really? Like, if I had $1,000 and I gave you 7 cents, am I really that charitable?
Like, I was gonna say, percentage wise, did you give a dollar to a homeless man this week? If you did, percentage wise, you probably contributed more than Jordan just did.
Because
you got about $1,000 in the bank. Let's you're living paycheck to paycheck. Let's be serious here. And
I
get it.
Like, it's a great cause, and he's doing some good, you know. But am I supposed to be like really impressed? Like, am I just a heartless motherfucker? Like, that I just am not impressed by these billionaires being like, oh, they gave $7 million. It's like, oh, cool. Did they find it in their couch? Like, is that how that went down? Did they find it in their fucking couch?
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, for Gates to give Elon $1 billion, like, yeah, I mean, when you got 110 of them. Here, take one for a fucking smart robot.
Well, and
smart robots are cool.
And it wasn't Bill Gates that gave it to him. It was Microsoft. Microsoft invested it. So it's his company, which is, again, his personal holdings, $105 billion. His company is worth way more. So it's funny money. They just think it's cool to be invested in OpenAI.
Yeah, I don't think there's a human on Earth that can comprehend how much money this is actually, like, is actually exchanging hands throughout the planet every day like this. Like, you can't rationalize this shit as normal human beings. You can't.
But OpenAI is doing some interesting things. And I find weird is that Elon Musk is somebody who is a doomsdayer when it comes to artificial general intelligence. Like, he does not trust the robots.
Yeah, but no, he's gone on plenty of shows and says it'll be the downfall of the human race.
But he has also got one of the leading companies in AGI research in order to develop this. And he's had some success, right? You know, it's all kind of like parlor tricks with the success in AGI at this point in time. You know, he created the OpenAI was responsible for a couple months ago. I think we talked about it, where they had the AI computer that defeated the Dota championship teams.
Yeah, yep.
So that was OpenAI.
And it was another game that they played, not the chess. What was it? Fuck, I'm drawing a blank on this.
You
don't
want to go?
Crazy. Go, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was OpenAI's AI computer or whatever else, but it's all machine learning. It's also, you know, self-learning machine learning.
So
computers.
We talk about Elon a lot. I'm changing my answer on Elon. Elon is not the embodiment of Lex Luthor anymore. He, to me now at this point, he has to be either from the future or some alien just kind of masquerading as a human at this point. With the amount of shit that he does, like you said, he was a doomsday prepper when it comes to AI, but now fuck it, I might as well just make it myself. Like, this dude, like, I can't.
I just like to think of him as like a part of like the multiplicity experiment. That there's really like 8 Elons.
She touched
around
my peppy, Steve.
Yeah, one of them. And yeah, they all have their own little quirks, which is why they're all brilliant, but they just have their own weird quirks. One of them wants to go to Mars, so he's the fucking starship guy. One of them
who's the helmet wearer. One of them went on Rogan to smoke a joint.
Yeah, it's all these different Elons. They all have their own. They all have so many diverse interests that's why we get so many fucking arms that Elon's in charge of. Because why not? We've got seven different Elons. They all want seven different fucking massive world dominating companies. Let's give it to them all.
And all this was started because dude made PayPal. Like
I know,
you know, like this dude is out here revolutionizing the human race on all kinds of nasty levels because he found a way for people to pay for shit online. Like, the fuck is wrong with this world?
Yeah, well,
this is amazing to me.
Moving into, let's keep it on the Microsoft side. Yeah. Let's leave Elon behind.
So they invested $1 billion into Elon's because they signed a $10 billion contract that day.
So they just had to find a way to make up that money, which means they signed a $10 billion government contract with the DOD for providing cloud computing services. And what's interesting is that they beat Amazon Web Services, so Amazon's cloud computing company
which is the largest in the world.
Largest web service in the world, owned by Amazon, and nobody really talks about it. They defeated Amazon, which Amazon for a long time looked like they were the front runner in getting this. And there has never been any love lost between our president and Jeff Bezos. And all of a sudden, Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense, was kind of directed to start looking into the contracting of this thing specifically because Amazon was about to win it. And lo and behold, a month later, we get Microsoft shocking everybody.
Well, I mean, leave it to Trump to buy the Zune instead of the iPod out of spite. Sure thing, buddy. But yeah, it's a huge contract. What it does as a gamer, give me hope that when cloud gaming is at its forefront, you know, we're about to enter it in like 2-3 weeks when Sony and Microsoft both switch over to cloud gaming. This just hopefully they'll have all the bugs worked out, all the kinks worked out.
On the backs of the government.
On the backs of the government, you know, because if not, you know, missiles might not be hitting targets the way they used to. You know, the DOD is going to get a big blue screen of death eventually.
But it's a big contract. It's $10 billion over 10 years. So a huge contract for Microsoft. And then it also comes on the heels of just a funny story of Amazon had their quarterly earnings report this week as well. And they took a dip in their profits for the first time in several years, which caused a big sell-off of shares. They lost like 7.5% of their valuation in a day. And that 7.5% valuation dipped Jeff Bezos just at like the $106 billion worth. It's where people were questioning whether Bill Gates was going to pass him. And I think very momentarily, Bill Gates was on paper worth more than Jeff Bezos, which is spectacular to think that this guy is still untouchable at the top. After losing 30% of his wealth.
Yeah, he gave his wife. He got divorced.
Which she is, I think, the ninth richest person in the world now. Like, he segmented 30% of his wealth, created the ninth richest person in the world by segmenting off.
Richest woman in the richest world, woman, I think, for sure.
Yeah. And then after a big stock hit, almost loses the crown as being the richest man in the world. But the stock rebounded the next day, and He retains his crown, still being
the
richest man.
When you're that rich, do you think this is the thing that really keeps you up at night? Like, because, I mean, when you can buy anything, when you can have anything, when you can do anything, when you're at the point where you're making plans of putting resorts on the moon, you know, like when you take a hit like this, does it really affect you? Or is it just like, eh?
Yes. There's... So it's one thing to be like the 13th richest man in the world, and you just like, it's cool that my name's in the talks. But when you are the richest, when you are the anything in the world, I don't give a shit who you are. You want to keep it. Like, you just, even if you're just the tallest fucking person in the world, you are mad when somebody else is growing on your level. Like, you just want to maintain that.
So being one of the brokest people I know and trying to rationalize it from an opposite perspective, I just, you know, when I go out to eat and I got my last $50 and the check comes out to, you know, 37 and I usually leave a $10 tip, you know, take the other three. You know, like, what do I care at this point? Like, what am I going to do with this $3? You know, like, I just rationalize it. When you're that rich, it's like, yeah, you know, like, oh, well, I lost.
No, there's
lost 50 billion. Whatever.
Again, like, we
just take it.
We have there is, you know, the weird secret society meetings and all that stuff. And he doesn't want to have to wear the number two hat in front of Bill Gates at whatever next thing, you know. He doesn't want to not sit at the center of the table next time he goes to the secret dinner.
It would make my fucking life if, like, Bill Gates sent him a Ricky Bobby text.
Oh,
like with the GIF, like the Ricky Bobby GIF. If you ain't first, you're last. In the middle of the night at like 1 a.m, and that big bald motherfucker wakes up just like, Gates.
Yeah, there's no way he would. I don't know. I definitely don't think there's any chance that he's okay with losing that crown. So it struck him hard. But again, his stock rebounded the next day. He's fine. He'll be okay. Everybody, don't lose any sleep over Jeff. He made it. All right, so let's move, I guess, to another just massive rich company, but we could talk about Google real fast in their quantum computing, and they've claimed quantum computing supremacy in the sense that they had a computer that solved a mathematical equation that would take a supercomputer some ridiculous amount of time.
And they're not even sure if the supercomputer could do it
ever. Yeah, but yeah, we're talking about thousands of years for the world's fastest supercomputer to compute this thing, and their quantum computing chip, it took the Sycamore chip 200 seconds to repeat the process necessary to complete it, and the world's fastest supercomputer would take 10,000 years to accomplish that same task,
which is
mind-boggling. Yeah, that's weird.
This is really interesting to me because I was a really big fan of the show Travelers. And it's all about a quantum computer in the future that predicts probabilities that if they went in the past and changed something, it would make the future better. So it's this big quantum computing, like AI that says, all right, we're going to send someone back to this time to do this thing. And it should affect all of the future to make this better. And then that's the basis of the whole show. So when I heard, you know, we're getting closer to quantum computing, I was like, oh shit, we're about to cram these probabilities.
Yeah, it's I can't pretend to know a ton about quantum computing. It is definitely,
anytime I listen to a podcast on quantum physics, it hurts my head.
Yeah, it's definitely outside,
like, unbelievably hurts my head.
Outside of my understanding, I get the concept, I guess, of why it's exponentially more powerful through the qubits, which can occupy both the ones and the zeros at the same time, of a traditional bit.
Well, I've heard Eric Weinstein talk about all this stuff, and I've never felt dumber in my life.
but yeah, to grasp, you know, exactly what is taking place and what goes into building these computers, because it's not an easy task to create these chips and then to create these odd-shaped, weird-looking computer systems that can actually perform these tasks. It's wild. But as you can see, the power for the pure computing power that can take place, the amount of solutions that it can test and validate in such a short period of time compared to anything that is a traditional based computer is astonishing. So we'll see how far they can take this and what type of applications they can now roll this into. But they have, this is now really the first time that they've proven or demonstrated this quantum supremacy, that quantum computing can perform tasks that traditional computers cannot.
Yeah, there's like maybe 30 people in the world that even know how to use it, like what we would use this thing for. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like going from an abacus to a calculator. We're jumping like huge data processing leaps by doing this, and to understand the impact this is going to have on the scientific community, I'm not smart enough.
Nope.
That's for goddamn sure.
But I'm looking forward to the world telling me what's happened.
Yep. NGT, where you at, man?
Yeah, I'll watch the next Star Talk. I'm sure he'll talk about it. But yeah, so it, really interesting piece, and we'll see in the end what this changes. Does it change anything? How long does it take?
What scares me is you know, so we talked about AI already today, and then you mix AI with the power of quantum computing, and then you throw in the 5G aspect of being able to send data anywhere. Like, man, hashtag Skynet. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is all leading to. I meet a kid named John Connor. I'm taking his number down. I'm following that dude wherever he goes. Yeah.
Speaking of tangents, the Terminator movie coming out this week. I don't know if you're seeing it.
I already bought my tickets. I already bought my tickets Thursday night.
I'm excited for this one because it actually looks. Who cares about the plot? It looks like it's moving at a quick pace. Action, old school action movie. It's looking pretty interesting on the trailers for sure.
It does look good, you know. But these people getting old, man. These people are getting old.
Yeah.
I don't
get why the robot's getting old. I don't get why Arnold's looking so old. I don't know why they didn't just try to Gemini Man his ass.
Because Gemini Man was a piece of trash.
Yeah.
It, spoiler alert, in case you haven't watched my review yet, Gemini Man was trash.
Either way, I think this Terminator movie is going to be good. I'm interested to see your review for that one, definitely.
Yeah, I'll be there Thursday night, and I got my fingers crossed. Like, I don't root for these movies to be bad. I just call them how I see them, folks.
All right. Well,
all right, we got one more that
we didn't talk about earlier with, but it's just an interesting story for the week. And, that's the Air Force, space plane, the X-37 Bravo. Hey, that thing finally landed. It's been up in essentially low orbit, flying around for 780 days. So a little over 2 years, this thing's been chugging along, grabbing data, doing secret spy stuff for the Air Force. You know, maybe one day this becomes part of the Space Force if that ever happens. But I have no idea what these things are doing, what these planes are doing, what data are they grabbing off of our adversaries and everybody else around the world. But 780 days.
Plane flying around the Earth at, you know, tripled the speed of sound for 780 days just to send me targeted ads.
But it's back, and it beat its previous record of like 718 days, and now it's 780 days. But these are purely autonomously flown vehicles that are just going up, grabbing data, bringing it back, beaming it back down to the Air Force.
Data is such a general word for whatever mischievous bullshit this fucking plane is doing. Oh, don't worry, folks. It's just grabbing data.
Or snapping pictures or doing whatever secret spy planes do. But that's the last cool thing of the week in our tech news.
Yeah, we got extra nerdy today.
Yeah, it was a definitely tech heavy week, but we've got, I'm sure,
I like that though.
I'm sure we got some entertainment weeks ahead of us once we get all these streaming services online in the next couple of weeks. And then we hit the December movie circuit, which you always get a couple gems that come through there. So there's definitely, we're going to hit the corner here out of the fall kind of lull with entertainment, and we'll pick up with some things coming up here real soon.
Yeah, it should be interesting how we round this year off. The last year of the decade, headed into 2020, still no hoverboards.
No.
Still no flying cars.
We're still arguing on whether we should let cars drive themselves. The answer is yes, we should. Human beings suck.
10-year-old me would be really disappointed right now, like with the state of as much as the cool shit that we talk about on this show, you still got to be kind of let down. At least your inner child should be.
Not just inner child. You got to think like, all the sci-fi writers and directors and all that stuff at the 80s, whatever else, they had much higher hopes for what we were able to achieve. We have fallen short.
The thing is, we're passing the years they based all these movies in. Like we already passed Back to the Future.
Yeah, we have fallen way short from everybody's hopes and
they
dreams.
They did almost nail the Cubs World Series, though. they like I will give it to them. They were pretty close on that. I'll take that one.
All right. Well, that's the week's news, and I don't know. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us once again for another week. We hope you continue to enjoy the show. If you have yet to join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community, which is our Facebook group, hey, join the conversations, join what we're doing there and sharing articles. It's definitely an enjoyable community to be a part of, and we encourage all.
Yeah, a lot of more articles get shared in that group than we discuss on the show. We pick some of the best ones to discuss on the show and bring some of our own in there. But there's a lot of, me and Ken, I'm into anime. Ken's not into anime. I'm not a avid anime fan, but there's a lot of anime discussions that go on there. A lot of cool memes, a lot of things that go on in the community that you're not going to catch on the show. So if you do like the show and you like to listen to, to us discuss these topics, I definitely suggest you guys head over to thenerdcantina.com/community, join the group, and give us your best meme. I'm loving memes.
I think everybody is. It's part of the world's problem.
If I can't communicate through meme or GIF, I don't want to talk to you.
With all that said, thanks again, and we'll talk to you again next week, nerds.
See you later, nerds.